Yep, that's everybody, except for Jennifer.
All right, good evening. It's now 6 p.m. On August 21st, 2019. I'd like to call the meeting of the Veterans Advisory Commission to order. So the flags are that way. So it's rising to pledge allegiance.
It's actually about 11 o'clock.
Oh.
I don't think I should have had one in the room. I didn't think about that. Sorry about that.
Imagine having us on the side of the wall. All right, again.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary, please call the roll.
Okay, I had Jennifer, and I just informed that she's not going to be here today. I have Bill.
Yes.
Jose.
Here.
David.
Here.
Maria.
Present.
Patricia.
Here.
Mark.
Here.
And Catherine.
Present.
Jennifer has a cold and fever, and decided not to pass it on to everybody. She can send her apologies.
Smart.
Thank you. We'll have to thank Senator. Thank you, Carter.
All right, so we move on to approval of the minutes. Everybody had a chance to review the minutes.
Should we talk about the rest of the meeting yet?
No.
Right after.
Again, anybody?
Well, I move that we approve the minutes. Right,
we have a second.
Second.
All right. Any discussion at all?
No.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Anybody opposed? All right. Let's move down to public comments. I'd like to welcome our guests here today. Appreciate it. And I guess we can start with introductions.
Absolutely. My name is J.D. White. I'm the coordinator for the Veterans Resource Center here at Southwestern College. I'm also a retired Marine, served 20 years in the Marine Corps, and now I live here with my lovely wife, Chica, and we're fortunate enough to get the position as running the Veterans Center.
Awesome.
And we're really excited to be able to share our center, but I'll save that for later. So that's who I am, and just excited to be here and do everything I can in my power to serve our veterans and our military affiliated students. So military and their families, that's our mission here. So thanks for having us.
All right.
Hello, my name is Michael Darren. I'm working with the Veterans Outreach Program. I'm prior Navy, 10 years Navy as well. So I'm happy for being able to come here and being able to find out more about what's available as far as the community and grow our outreach for our veterans.
Sure.
Awesome.
Thank you. Hi. My name is Linda Viscardo. I'm a registered nurse, retired. I've worked at the Navy Hospital for 30 years.
Oh, wow.
I'm here to volunteer whatever outreach you may have, and I'm happy to be here.
And she's
She's
also the president of the Philippine Nurses Association of San Diego.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Thank you.
Did you bring Whoopi?
Don't mind him.
Just a thought.
My name's Alexis. My mom's Maria.
Oh!
Right on.
You have a lovely daughter.
Well, welcome, and thank you for having us at your location.
Yes,
we're thrilled to have you here. We're so honored that you all came. We're just thrilled that you're here, so thank you so much for coming.
In regards to public comments, did you want to speak? You start here first. We usually allot so many minutes per person.
Oh, okay. Did we want to do that when we did the tour, or would you like me to talk a little bit about what we do here and then do the tour?
Let's discuss first.
Okay.
What you guys have, and then have time to do the tour.
Okay, I don't really have anything prepared, but just to give you a little heads up what we do here. We serve anywhere between 500 to 1,000 veterans and military affiliated students each spring and fall semester. And we also have our summer semester that we just wrapped up. But I guess the key thing to note is that we have a large veteran population here at Southwestern College. And we are continuing to grow. We've got a Veterans Resource Center. We've expanded. We've through coordinating efforts with the Chancellor's Office, the State of California, we received grants and just over $200,000, two separate grants through the state's VRC grant program. So it was a competition, and we we submitted our proposal and we were awarded. So we're very fortunate to have that. And with that, we were able to relocate our old Veterans Resource Center, which could serve about maybe 20, 30 people. And now we've almost doubled in size, and you'll see the new center, which we're very, very excited and proud moving forward. So, you know, getting our students registered and declared and getting their classes, approved to the VA, our Veterans Resource Center, which we'll learn more about, is a place, it's kind of a hub, a center, a sanctuary, if you will, for our veterans and military affiliated students to come, relax, do their homework, study, free printing, network. We have a brand new veterans specific tutoring program. We have outreach. We've got we have a student lounge, a welcome area, a conference room, and we are just continuing to grow our foundation as far as being able to serve our student veterans, and whether it's getting them a job, getting them off the streets if they're homeless, whatever the situation is, we may not have the answer, but we've got the connection. And that's a big part of what we do, is referrals and getting our young women and men, and sometimes older, served, serving them now. And that's kind of what our duty and our charge is to make sure that we're giving them everything that we can. And San Diego, as you all know, is a huge veteran population, huge military family presence here. So it's just a natural fit. In Southwestern College, we're the only public institute of higher learning in the South Bay. It's Southwestern College. So we're just growing leaps and bounds. We're doing great things, continuing to improve services. We were awarded military friendly. We were awarded best for vets. So we're just doing really good things. We're continuing to grow our team so we can better serve our students and their families. And I think that's pretty much it. So we're doing a lot of good things, and we're continuously working towards getting the students motivated, getting them out there, setting them up for success. So we don't want them to stay here forever. So right now we're kind of shifting gears, and that's the whole state of California, of course, as far as the community college goes, to student success, student completion, student success, get them out the door with a degree, get them transferred to a four-year university, or get them a job. Whether, if they're getting a certificate or they're going through a vocational, whether we have our police academy, we got our fire science, our EMTs, our nursing program, we got a lot of really great programs here. So with all of that tied in together, you add the veteran element and the military affiliated element, it's a recipe for success. So we're just really excited moving forward into the future. And that's kind of a glimpse of what we do and where we're at.
Awesome.
Just a question.
Yes, sir.
I'm guessing that your veterans are a little bit older than the students that are coming out of high school.
Absolutely, yes.
How do they do in comparison with staying in school, graduating, so forth?
I don't have the exact statistics, but I can tell you what my sense is. And I'm going on my fourth year as a staff member. And from what I hear from the faculty side, and from what I see on a day-to-day basis and from other staff members, veterans on a whole are performing well. They're, they show up before the class even starts, they're taking good notes, they're exceeding in the classes, and I hear more compliments about the veterans of the military. Now, there are some that have problems and struggle, and that's why we have the programs that we have. So it's not a cakewalk for everybody, but I would say by far and large, the majority of our veterans and military population, they're being successful. They're going out, they're getting involved in the community. They're doing things like our student veteran organization, which is a college club. They're involved with the Marine Corps League. They're volunteering, they're doing stuff that, only comes natural to veterans. So we're really proud of that. We're trying to support them the best way that we can. So I don't know if that answered your question, but I feel pretty confident that, our veterans they're representing well.
Sure. The data showing that they're doing really well in their classes, but they don't complete at the level that, complete the degree or transfer at the level that we like to see.
That's right.
So their academic performance is quite positive, but they get pulled off for family responsibilities or jobs sometimes. So that's an area we're really focusing on, is on the transfer and completion piece.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
You said that we're serving between 500 to 1,000 beds per semester. Correct?
That's right.
So do we have an exact member? Of course, probably don't have the data, I love data in general. How many vets we serve in this institution in general, and you going into this new vet center, being able to have a larger capacity, are we going to track that data to see how many vets we're serving over the course of time with this new center?
Yes, absolutely. Great question. We have a program called SARS, which any veterans in the room, you may hear that term and be like, whoa, why do you have SARS?
Trina.
Yeah, it's a tracking program. It's not the disease. I thought that was hilarious when I first started. But the SARS is a computerized tracking system that every time somebody comes in, whether it's a library or the Veterans Center, they put in their student ID, the reason they visit, and we track that information. So okay. We're able, and we have been tracking that. So over the period of years, you know, we'll be able to analyze and look at the data and see who's using the center, and our hopes are that because we have moved to the front of the campus and we've almost doubled in size, we're with that increased visibility, we're going to be able to get more veterans to come in and more military folks to come in and use the center, because in the past it wasn't, there was people that didn't know that said that they didn't know we had a veteran center. So now they won't be able to say that, because we're right here, we got flags outside. You know, we have a big event coming up on September 26th, where we're having a grand reopening, rededication, and hopefully we get the Peralta family out here. And I'll show you once we get outside to the tour. But yeah, we're tracking the numbers and the data, and that's moving forward. We're always looking at ways to tweak the data coming in, so that way we can not only get the support that we need from the state of California, but also so we can compare and see where we need to improve. What do we need to do to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to serve our veterans?
And JD mentioned a grant that we were awarded last year, and that is to fund a position. Michael's working in it temporarily right now, of an outreach specialist only for veterans. So we know when that person will be hired, probably in the next 60 to 90 days, in a contract position. And his or her responsibility will be to go out in the community and let people know what we're doing here at Southwestern College.
So is your funding primarily through the state? Is there any federal funding, as far as if there's, we have a lot of folks that are veterans in this institution. Do we have any federal funding coming
into the We have funding coming from three different places. We have state funding now, which we didn't have up until last year. Mm-hmm. That's the categorical funding that JD was talking about. Plus we have the grant funding we got is state funded. We also have funding from the institution, which also comes from the state, but from the institution that funds the positions for JD and for Megan that you met. We also get something in there called reporting fees, and we get a small amount of money for every person we certify that comes directly to the college, to our department, and we can use that to help further our programs for veterans. So we're getting in a couple different places. Right now we're certifying about 850 veterans each semester, so that's a pretty strong population.
850?
That's how many we certify. And of course we have our other, we also serve active duty and dependents and spouses as well.
Considering the affordable housing crisis as well, you know, in San Diego, do you have any means to assist veterans with finding housing?
We do. It's not veteran specific beyond what JD does. JD does absolutely work with the local veterans housing community organizations. We also have a campus-wide program called SWC Cares. Part of that, a big part of it, is to find housing. We partner with South Bay Community Services.
Correct.
We're also developing an MOU with an organization called Community Through Hope. You may be familiar with them as well, that do have a rapid rehousing program and also long-term housing. So that's available to all of our students, including our veterans, and then JD and Michael go that extra mile in working with the veterans-specific groups in town as well. Great. So it's a real focus for us. They do a great job. And I have to say that JD won't tell you this, but only last month, JD was honored as a Veteran of the Year in Sacramento by Representative Lorraine Gonzalez for the work he's done.
Our JD is similar to
Yes, thank you.
Wow, congrats.
Well, I can piggyback on what he was saying. So one of my primary things is not only to take care of our veterans here, but also let them know what resources are available. As a veteran myself, I didn't even know half the benefits I was available to. So it was bringing different veteran organizations in to be able to talk to our students, be more visible in the community, like with the Chamber of Commerce and other local and state government agencies, like the Unemployment Office. There's a lot of resources for veterans there as well. So that's my job, is to grow and help them in that area. Because we want to take care of our students, and we want to bring in more students too, but let them know what resources are available to them. Because that was the biggest thing that I struggled with. And still, I'm learning every day on what's available to veterans that I didn't even realize.
Michael's only been with us a very short time, and he's already made such a big difference in how we're working with our veteran students. We're really excited, looking forward to our fall semester starting, because I know he's just going to make such a great difference.
That's so awesome.
And also, you know, one of the other things to piggyback on, the veteran resource is a one-stop shop for our veterans. A lot of schools, I'm continuing my education right now, and I don't know what a lot of resources are available at school, but here, that's one of our jobs, is to make sure that whatever they need, we're here to help them. If it's anything that comes up, we're going to find them a resource, and we're going to give them the help that they need so that they can be successful in finishing their program. And one of the biggest things, also piggyback on what he was saying, is with veterans, I'm a current student, most of my classmates are veterans, I'm a prior student from here. They take their education seriously, because one of the biggest things that's stopping them is being able to find work once they do get out. Some of my friends that were Master Chiefs and higher are not able to find work because they don't have their degree. So that's one of the other things that we focus on, going to a lot of these job fairs, is let veterans know, I know you're looking for a job, but this might be the step that you need to take.
Do you have a significant number of active duty people attending licensure?
Not really. We have, you know, we average between about a dozen to maybe 15 or somewhere in there. It's not a real significant number, but then again, you know, that fluctuates, as you know, depending on the time of year. Spring and fall are usually the heavier times, but I think that's about right, about a dozen to 15, right?
It's
now
a little bit higher than that, but that is a focus for us for this upcoming year, is to really develop the active duty.
Yeah.
And that's something Michael will absolutely be working on.
Well, as you mentioned, Master Chief, it's almost impossible to get promoted to the senior grades without a degree.
A lot of them are getting out that have done their 20. I've experienced them that they haven't been able to find work.
Yeah. How about family members, spouses?
Yes.
And also children that are utilizing their families statewide. Yeah. Because I think that would be, even if we had those numbers, just to get a holistic number as far as not only serving veterans, but also serving the family in general. Because I think if you can tie that all together and actually show the impact you're making, and not only serving the veteran community, actually their family members and active duty members, I just think there's so much of a, you know, possibility. I don't know, maybe those are numbers we can generate. And lastly, how many students do we have that are, of course, that are Chula Vista residents? And that would be a good number to track as well, to see how many Chula Vista veterans that we're actually tracking per semester. And then that's something we could bring up to council, to just to show them how much of an impact this institution is not making only on the South Bay, but also locally in our city with Chula Vista veterans.
That's a great point. One of the things we look at, both from our veterans' perspective and from financial aid, because I oversee financial aid as well, is the amount of money, if you want to talk about that this pushes into the economy. Financial aid, for example, we pay out, we disperse $45 million a year to Southwestern College students, and our veterans benefits, I don't have the number on the tip of my tongue, but it's substantial as well. So it's a real economic engine for the region, and especially for the city, so that's important information.
It'd be nice to get those numbers just to see.
Be happy to.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
Kyle, is there any issue going out script to check out the Veterans Center? I know it's not specifically mentioned. Can we do that?
Maybe after.
We want to do that at the end.
Maybe do it at the end.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that'd be my.
Because we have to hit these first. Mm-hmm.
Real charity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm I'm not aware of. Got my head. All right, cool. So, thank you.
Thank you.
So much for that. Any other public comments? Awesome. All right, we'll move on to the Veterans Activity Report. Vice Chair Sears.
All right. I went and looked up some activities that are coming up and found a couple here that I would like to bring to your attention that's coming up. One is on Veterans Day, November 11th, and it is a 1 mile, 5K, 10K, 13.1 or 26.2 virtual walker run.
Virtual?
Virtual. Yeah. No, what you do here...
That's for me.
What they do is they...
You watch somebody do it.
You do it in your shower. In the shower if you want to. But you send in your money and you get a bib and a t-shirt. And then they give out little awards when you report back. And I guess it's the honor system. Complete the race anytime in November. Better if it's on November 11th, Veterans Day. Medals and bibs will begin shipping at the end of October, and after that will ship 2 to 5 days after signing up. You choose the course and the time yourself. You'll report your finishing time to us. Price is $20 and involves and includes a medal, bib, and shipping, plus the 15% of that goes to disabled veterans, the DAV. As a charity, so that's kind of one where it goes to there. What is a virtual race? Virtual race is one that can be run or walked from any location you choose. You can run, jog, or walk on the road, on the trail, treadmill, gym, or on the track, or in the shower.
Does it actually say in the shower? Or is
no.
It just clarification.
That's where I would do mine. But apparently you just sign up and you report back and you're in. Anyway, that's available.
And who sponsors that? Is it the DAV? Because you mentioned the charity's DAV, so I don't, you know, it depends on who is the sponsor.
It doesn't really say.
It's on the 11th, correct?
It is on the 11th. I'll pass this around. You guys can look at it later on. I've got all these off a place called Eventbrite.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
Eventbrite.com?
Yeah.
The next one is does involve in us, and that's the annual Veterans Walk from the Chula Vista Veterans Home, and that takes place on November the 2nd, and 7 o'clock registration begins at the Veterans Home, 8:15 registration closes, 8:30 ceremony, they have a ceremony, Veterans Ceremony. 9 o'clock the walk begins, it starts there, it ends up at the VFW post, 2111 down on Third Avenue, yeah, I think so. It's 4 miles, and you can walk or run. They also have shuttles come along, and if you start dragging halfway, they'll pick you up and take you down there.
You on the scooter?
Yeah, and whatever.
And they have those scooters.
And how much is the cost for this event?
Collisions.
All right.
Because I know this happens every year at the Veterans Home.
You do teams.
You do teams, yeah.
Groups.
Let's see if it has.
Isn't there one for kids that every year?
100% of the proceeds of whatever costs go back to the Chula Vista Veterans Home Support Foundation. And it costs, I don't know. Oh, 35 to 200. I think 35 is individual, 200 is a group of four. Mm-hmm. Our Kiwanis Club did a group of four last year.
Yeah, that would be. That was got to be bigger than four because 35 is individual.
Five.
Ten.
Six.
Some number.
Anyway,
your math.
We'll find out.
Maybe 200 for a team. Maybe just a team.
Here's
team
one that I'm kind of keen on. You've all heard of Wreaths Across America, where they put wreaths on veterans' graves all over America, just in time for Christmas. And that's coming to Glen Abbey this year. Mm. And it's part of the Wreaths Across America program and organization. It will be on December the 14th, so we've got plenty of time at 9 o'clock. There's a couple ways you can do this. You can volunteer to go down there, and I'm trying to get Kiwanis clubs, our youth-sponsored youth to do that, Boy Scouts, folks like that to help out. Mm-hmm. You show up and they give you wreaths and they send you out to place them on the graves. Mm-hmm. Starting at 9, should probably be over probably about 11:30. And they're looking for people to sponsor or buy wreaths, and they're $15 a piece. And there's a website that you can go to and sign up for volunteering or for buying the wreaths or for both. Yeah, so I'll pass that around too, but that's not until December the 14th. But that's basically the word.
Thank you.
I'll grab those so I can make sure they get on the website.
Yeah. All right.
right, next we have the city website update. It's Commissioner Larkin provides a resource link.
We are working on that. Both Michael and JD are working on our resources that we'll send the links on to you when we get them online.
Okay.
We don't have them quite done yet, but probably within the next week, perhaps. Yeah. We're updating our website, so we'll share that with you.
All right. Next, moving on for that time of year, election of the new chair and vice chair for fiscal year 2019 to 2020. Let's see, recommend action committee nominate and electing chair, vice chair. Okay, so we talked about this last week, but everybody wasn't here, so I'm still short one, but I don't think it matters at this point. So put it out to the floor, asking, is there any nomination beginning with maybe chair?
Well, I did last week. I think Bill, who's been vice chair for a couple of years, would make an excellent chair.
I would like to nominate Dave Wynn for chair.
Okay.
Well, he goes unpunished.
One for Bill. One for Dave Wynn.
Run. Not a real run, I hope.
Be a virtual.
This is a virtual
run.
So we have two nominations on the floor. Is there anybody else? Okay, so we have one, two. We have a, I guess we should go to it. Is there a second? Or what's the process for this? Is it, when it did mine, it was just in the room.
So you would assume that to find out if the nominees are willing to assume the role and then take a vote and then settle it with the coin flip or an arm wrestle, I think.
All right, well, let's go with Bill first. Bill, if nominated for position, would you be willing to take the position?
Yes.
Okay. Dave, if nominated for the position, would you be willing to assume the position?
I would be willing, but I honestly think Bill has earned it with his tenure as vice chair. Excellent.
May I say that Dave has 30 years of service. He retired as a captain, had a major command, knows how to, he's president of the Kiwanis Club this year, knows how to run a show.
All right.
Believe the thing he says.
So I guess maybe at this time we'll go down to the floor. Is there any other votes? Anybody else? No? It's all in favor of Bill.
Dave. Yeah, do a vote.
Yeah.
Do a vote.
All right, that's something I can think of next. Yeah, so how about this then? So all in favor of Bill. Be next in line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Dave.
Okay. That's two.
You get your feet off the floor, you make four.
Okay, so we have Bill. So starting.
When does this take effect?
I would say then. When is the next one? Or is it? I forget when I got elected.
Well, the fiscal was July, June 30th?
Yeah.
So.
The city does it June.
So starting this next
July. July.
Yeah,
I finish up today. And then it's
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So we have a chair and chair for Bill. And now let's go for vice chair.
I nominate Dave Wynn for vice chair.
All right. We have one nomination for Dave for vice chair. Any other nominations out there? All right. We have a... All in favor of Dave being the next vice chair?
Aye.
I think it's...
Anybody opposed? No. Okay. So congratulations. Bill, you'll be the new chair starting the next meeting.
Thank you.
And you, sir, will have the vice chair.
Do we both get a car?
I'll bring it to you next week.
Driver.
I had meant to make a gavel. I never got around to it. I looked a few different times because the last chair prior to...
No way.
Before Jennifer, yes. What's her name?
Christine. Yeah,
no. Christine, yes. She actually had a gavel, but it went with her.
What?
A gavel?
A little gavel.
Oh, she had a gavel?
Yeah.
I did a better.
Yeah, she had it when I came on.
That's where money's coming.
No, it was a little, wooden gavel. It was actually kind of cool. And then I was supposed to be passed along, but she just never showed back up. And then Jennifer would luckily took the position, and I took it. But it was kind of cool, and I had meant to make one. Donate here. It's never going to
happen. Fashion a scepter of some sort.
Yeah.
I'll bring a hammer.
An iron throne or something. All right. Cool. So congratulations to you, too. Let's see. Next is a Veteran of the Year applications. Commission review of Veteran of the Year applications. Do we have any new ones?
Just the one.
Wow. One.
Where's the person?
Totally unsat.
Yeah.
Well, 14 years ago.
Had a lot last year.
Quite a few.
What are we doing wrong that we didn't do last year? I mean, we had, what, several last year?
I think we had 7 or 8, didn't we?
Yeah. Might have even been more than
that. I think we had more than 10.
You know, we should have had those that didn't make it last year, had an overflow of that and renomination.
Still in a copy, yeah? Mm-hmm. That's the one I heard. Wow.
This what's is the our same discussion as last month. So
yeah.
Wow.
It's the only individual.
So when by default? No, no. Bueno. I mean, it's been posted, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we did come up with some solutions to put forth for next year, mm-hmm. to ensure that we get more folks.
Every year that I've been on, I'm almost coming to the end. And we've always had more than one.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean,
do we have the notes from last time we talked about?
How many veterans in Chula Vista? There must be
a couple dozen, at least.
And the word is somehow not reaching people.
Well, the last census in 2010, 2011 is about 18,000 vets in the city of Chula Vista. But I mean, that's 2010. And, yeah. But there's an annual American Community Survey, which is actually conducted annually, which we should look into. I actually have someone looking up those numbers for us, so I'll be able to give those numbers next meeting. But I was interested to see how many vets we actually have in Chula Vista, because even on the website, you look, their last updated numbers is from 2010 or 2011.
How many do we have?
And as of that point, it was 18,000. And I know damn well it's way, excuse my language, but it's way more than that.
Yeah, there is a lot. I don't know. I used to get the numbers for that.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
The issue is, you know, one of two things, or maybe a combination of the two, is one, people don't know about it, and secondly, if people know about it, there's really no significant incentive to motivate them to make the effort to write up a nomination for somebody they know of.
We did talk about incentives last.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about something bizarre, like getting a car dealer to provide an automobile for a year cost for you, something of that sort. I mean, I bet you'd get a lot of applications.
Yeah, you'd get thousands of them.
But, you know, that's probably a little extreme, but yeah. We need really, and we're not going to probably do it this evening, but we need to think of how can we, A, guarantee that the advertisements out there, and B, and a sufficient incentive that people want to participate in this.
Be nice if the hello.
Hi.
Excuse me for interrupting. I want to introduce. Thank you so much for coming by, Kendra. This is our president of the college, Dr. Kendra Murillo.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah. This is the City of Chula Vista Veterans Commission, and we were so happy we got the first place they came to be hosted outside of our normal meeting place. So they came to meet with us at Southwestern College.
Oh, good. Well, welcome and thank you. Thank you so much, and we're so appreciative. I'm sorry I can't stay. I didn't even know about what's going on.
I just texted her a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I'm just like, wow. But I'm on my way to another off-campus meeting, but I just want to say welcome. We'd love to have you here. We love having our community in the city, which is one of our partners.
Yep, absolutely.
So thank you so much for being here.
We owe you a great thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Well,
thank you.
You know, these two are amazing, and we love our veterans. And
awesome.
So it's like one of our highlights and all the wonderful events we have. So please make yourself comfortable and come by and say hi sometime. I'm sorry, I'm like running, was getting ready for school on Monday, so.
Thank you for taking the time to come by. I appreciate it so much.
Have we thought, this is with regard to the VOI, have we thought of how we advertised it this year? And since we only have one, I know our deadline we said was June, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. June, review for
end
July.
End of May.
End of May, June. Get more information if we have had enough application. As it is, we've only had one since we, since the deadline. Have we thought of re-advertising it to the public? and see if we can get more nomination. We do have 2 months until actual November 11th, which is the Veterans Day. Or do we just stick with the one that we have? That'll be for the commission group here to think.
I think we have to go with this one. Look ahead at next year. The year before, I put some information on Facebook, just as a private person, and on Nextdoor, which is a neighborhood networking. They say, go to the city site, look at this, Veterans of the Year nominations are due. And I don't know if that had any influence on it, but I don't think if we just rely on people going to the city page and to our page, people are going to find it. So I think we ought to go out and ask other organizations to advertise for us. Some of the places that have the VFW or the Fleet Reserve or other veteran-related organizations, maybe the Veterans Home could put something up on their web pages. You know, we're looking for Veteran of the Year. Here's where you go to get information and nomination. It's an access thing.
It would have been nice if members of the council would have just reached out to their district and blast whatever their newsletter they have. I mean, they have a bigger platform.
They all put out newsletters to their
districts.
You know, if we give them text perhaps for social media and Twitter and things like that, would you give them suggestions of what to tweet or what to post? And that might help too.
Or even let the mayor know as well. She's a bigger platform and she can always pass it on.
I think we ought to start in January.
Yeah. I think we utilize council and them. Such a bigger network.
Yeah, from the city.
I just don't see much. I think they could do more as far as advertising.
From the city's perspective, I don't disagree. I agree with everything. I don't think the website, there's not a lot of visitation there.
No.
To the website, there's not a lot of traffic.
Analytics, right? I think, how many people look at that.
Yeah, so I think putting something out in January, and that's probably where this commission, I think, could probably do well, too. I know we spent a good portion of time coming up with the schedule to when do we need nominations by, when do, you know, and then trying to find out what the county and that whole endeavor. But we could easily start saying, hey, we want to start pushing this out in the city newsletter, start pushing it out on the city's Twitter feed, start pushing it out on city's Facebook page, and basically we could just have them do it, maybe not every week, but we could start having them start in January, and then I think if you partner with, you know, for instance, the center out here, you know, that's 850, you know, and I'm sure that the numbers vary. It's not the same 850 people each semester,
no.
Right? So there's a decent turnaround. So if you include that, and then we can always print some, you can always print the, you can print the forms up, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
So if you, you know, if we get a link and have some blank forms and they're there, I think you can attract some attention that way. Same thing with the VFW and you know, let them know. I think that's doable. Absolutely. And like you said, individually as a citizen on Facebook, nothing wrong with that at all. That can reap rewards.
I just think this year we're kind of shot for this year.
Yeah. Well, when we have to know, because we have to bring it to council, we have to present it to the council in October.
Yes.
So the idea would be if you wanted to try, I guess you could, if you wanted to try and put it out there and just see if you could get it, and we'd have to make a very tight deadline. As a reminder, hey, Veteran of the Year is, you know, Veteran of the Year, you know, is, you know, application period is closing, and we pick a date. I don't know when our October meeting is, but you make a date that's, you know, prior to that, and then we make sure we include the link to the application or the nomination form.
October 16th, the third Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
Then I don't know if you guys, it'd be up to you guys to decide if you think that's enough time to gather the stuff in a month, basically have the October meeting, you know, select the recipient and then get it to council.
And do everything in one shot.
It would have to be in one shot. So you'd have one shot to do it, but it'd be up to you guys if you want to do that or not. But there's no reason we couldn't.
If I may give you input, I've been Chula Vista resident since 99. This is the first time I've heard of Veterans of the Year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Therein
lies the problem.
Yeah.
For example, the 80th District Veteran of the Year, right? So what the assembly members do is that they actually get feedback from constituents and folks that are community leaders, and they provide them a list of at least 5 to 10 individuals, and that representative will review everyone who was nominated, and they will pick one out of that batch. So if we get our council members to kind of do the same thing and reach out to the folks in their district to get 5 applications or at least 5 nominations from the Chamber of Commerce, from business leaders, from community leaders, and then maybe they can dwindle that down and look at the list of who they have, and I don't know, I'm just thinking of ways and we can get more folks. So I think this, like you said, the Assembly District, that's a whole, that's hundreds of thousands of people. If they're able to do it, there's no reason why, you know, the city of Chula Vista can't find one.
I think great idea, and I think don't even ask them to whittle it down, just make sure that they announce it and talk, because they're always at, they're at community forums or community events. Just ask them, just remind them to do it rather than ask them to whittle it down, because ultimately that authority for that, you know, this commission is entrusted with the selection
yeah.
of that. So rather than ask them to whittle it down, I think accept all of them and
bring them to us.
And if you're getting them all year long, so be it, at least you can keep track of it. And you got to be careful offering incentives, you know, because of the you know, we got to be careful that we don't, you know, we provide a monetary, because if you start incentivizing it to too much extent, it becomes we open up the board for extending beyond its boundary, so to speak, and then you open up the selection process. If there's a pretty good financial incentive, then you open up to, well, what's the process? And even though it is open to the public and it's not confidential, you open it up, and you know, you open up to some liability issues there, which I'm sure the city attorney would say, you know.
But I knew, like, with the state, they provide a nice big placard, like, and that's really presentable, which someone would be appreciative. Here, it's usually just a small proclamation and something like that. So maybe the city invested in something that was more presentable, in which, you know, the veteran can take pride in and put it up in their office or something like that.
So he was asking what I got. So we flew up Sacramento, met with the assemblywoman, went on to the state assembly. They put my name up on the screen or whatever it's called, and did a photo op. You know, and we got the certificate and everything. Just took a bunch of pictures. Got a private tour of the state capitol, which was really neat. So you know, it was very, very, very rewarding. I felt like it was very rewarding and special and everything. We paid for our own way up there, I guess.
Oh, you did?
They couldn't do that, so.
Actually, I did the same thing.
The college
they gave me the Veteran of the Year in 2017.
Congratulations.
For the 79th district, okay. Assembly member, but they paid for everything.
Wow.
And then they have a nice lunch, and then
we were supposed to have a luncheon. That's actually a funny story.
What's the size of that?
I wasn't going to say it, but
you should reach
they
out.
They actually messed
yeah,
up. Whoever set it up didn't notify us that it was canceled for this year. So I had flown up there. My boss, Patty Larkin, flew up there. I had my wife with me, and I got up there that morning and read the email and said that it was canceled. They sent me the email the day before. The day I flew up there, they sent me the email. So anyways, we made the best of it. We let the assemblywoman know. She didn't even know. That we weren't notified. So it was a hiccup, because normally they do that, like you said, they have a big luncheon, and they have a Veteran of the Year from each district in the state of California.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
And so it's a big to-do luncheon and everything. So we just got a photo op, but I'm happy with it. I was in and out, you know.
Well, this raises the point, though, if these districts have Veterans of the Year, and I assume they have nominations and they screen them, what are they doing different that we're not doing? Why are they getting more activity with this than we do? It's a rhetorical question, but I mean,
The answer might be, and I don't know this for a fact, but we meet once a month. It's a volunteer city board and commission, right, with limited power. And the state assembly, they've got staffers, and they probably got a lot more resources at their disposal to be able to do outreach and whatnot. And so my guess is it's probably a question of that, because they're probably, while we're meeting once a month and doing it bits and pieces, I don't think they're bound by the same guidelines that this board is. Yeah. Would be my guess.
There's another veteran organization too that they're having Veteran of the Year at Balboa, Veteran Museum over there.
Providing
breakfast, lunch. And that's coming up in September.
We tried. There was a, if I may speak on behalf of you guys, we tried. I've been doing this now on this. I've been the liaison to this commission since early spring of 2018. Mm-hmm. And so we struggled with, does the veteran of Chula Vista, does the VOI in Chula Vista, is does each of the communities, you know, of the cities, the entities in the county, do they each take their VOY representative and send them to the county for county to, for consideration, and then they select the recipient from amongst the municipalities? And the answer is they don't. But it took a while to figure that out. Actually, I had to call Supervisor Cox's office, and but I could not get an answer from the Balboa, the museum in Balboa. I know several others tried as well, and they were not reachable for whatever reason, and I'm sure they're volunteers as well. But we struggled with that for probably 8 months, and realized that what we do has no bearing on whether or not or who they select.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess we decide if we want to extend it to, I don't know, October 1st, or just ride with what we have. Because if we were to extend a deadline, then that's that to be a hard date, that's it. And then the first meeting, if there's extra, we review them, vote, send for recommendation.
What yes. are the chances or the probability that we will get applicants within the next 4 to 6 weeks? If it's nil or nothing, then I recommend we just keep to one. Otherwise, we will be rushing or trying to hurry and advertise and get nomination. And it might be futile for us to do that because we've been doing this for the last 6 months since January, or 10 months, I can't count, or 8 months. So my recommendation would be to just maybe start in January or after the Veterans Day and just stick to one. That's just my opinion.
Seems to be a superb nomination.
I would move that we close off this year with the one nomination we have, accept that, and pursue doing it more for the next year.
I would agree, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a really good nomination. Mm-hmm. Last year we had at least one that was very weak. The others were pretty good. This one's very good. So,
well, we have a motion on the floor for chair-elect Sears.
And vice chairman.
And a second. Another commissioner. Any more discussion on that? All in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Now, what happens now with the nominee? Who notifies? What is the process?
I think from what I remember last time, we sent a recommendation up to the council's office, because mm-hmm. there was a snafu last year. It was mm-hmm. a big fiasco that I got the commissioner.
I think Jennifer.
Jennifer, as she was the chair, she had a nastygram sent to her, and I had to jump in as well, and you had to jump in. It was mm-hmm. a big mess. So I think from that ordeal, mm-hmm. we determined that it was supposed to be sent up to council members, and one of them, they make the nomination, they notify the winner, mm-hmm. and then they set everything.
So we send it to council?
Because they had
council. They actually make the selection.
It was the chief of staff, yeah. the mayor's office, reached out to us and basically unloaded on us, said, why didn't we not notify a person, say, hey, you know what, we're not supposed to notify anybody. It's up to you. We don't know their schedule, so it was up to council.
We're sending up a recommendation to yes. actually make the selection.
Exactly. And then they set up when they want that person to come to.
Do you do that, Claudia?
No, I didn't do it last year.
Okay.
It was Jennifer Belief who did it last year, who got the ball rolling with all that. It didn't come from me.
I can certainly mm-hmm. help facilitate that. Mm-hmm. So basically make sure that we
one
send
of us
it to
three for now.
So I'll just say we would send it right back to the chief of staff and say for the mayor and say, can you please just, we got time now. Because, you know, now you know, assuming that's the recommendation, right? So we would say, here you go. Could you let mayor and council?
This
and
is then, our recommendation?
Yeah, this is the recommendation. And then respond to any questions or anything like that. And then let them go from there.
So that's something you would like
I'll
to
certainly, I can certainly do that. So I'll make issue. Sure I get that, Claudia.
I'm not sure. I'll send it to
you. Yeah, we can do that. And then that way they've got time. They can communicate it. There's no time rush. We're in August, so I think it's okay.
And so we said, so it's January, we're going to start the push, all right?
Yeah, we really need to put our heads together.
I know for me personally, I can easily reach out to the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. I see her every day.
Well, I think what we need to do is kind of pre-organize, maybe set up a little internal committee of two mm-hmm. or three people to take on particular tasks. You contact these people like that. You do this.
Veterans organizations, VFW,
we could push that to next month's agenda.
I think it's a little early to do it before Christmas.
Next month's agenda. That'll be for the new chairs.
Paying attention to that. But if we start in January with some advertising and just kind of build that up, I think we'll get some pretty good responses next time.
Also.
Yes, Commissioner. Maybe
what we need to do is put together a little bit of a marketing plan. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the more important things that we do throughout the year, and it would be nice to memorialize this, in some term, at least for me, for our incoming folks down the road to know what we do, what our calendar is, when we do it, and we can memorialize some of these great suggestions about outreach opportunities.
And well, I thought we had hard dates set already. I thought that was something you did, right?
I did the,
you did the
timeline for the VOI, and we're doing it. But it so happened we only got...
There's no marketing involved in it.
Yeah, so in the marketing, we need to decide.
The marketing piece was not in that.
If you like, what I'll do is I'll reach out to the City Office of Communication and just get a timeline on when they release things and everything. And I don't know that we wanted it everything, just because after a while it becomes noise. But I think I'll get a timetable on when they release and how often. And that's the newsletter, the Twitter and Facebook, that we can control that. That can be whenever we like. But at the very least, then with that timeline, you guys can decide how often you want to do it and when, and advertise it, if that makes sense.
I would also recommend, we have four districts in the city of Chula Vista. If we could recommend to the district councils, or I don't know what, the district 1, 2, 3, 4, to, at the minimum, give us 5 nominees per district. Residents or employees of Chula Vista. That's one marketing right there. You know, you give us 5 from District 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 20 minimum.
Yeah.
That's not so hard. 5 per district.
Each department of the city. I mean, last year the selectee was from the police department, and there's other departments, and
correct,
they've got veterans that are probably very worthy.
That
might
work.
School districts.
I could certainly ask the council members and just say, hey, just FYI, the commission would like to, you know, extend. They may not even be aware that we're seeking that, and so they may, I can't imagine, you know, I'd say, hey, the commission would like to, requesting that, you know, starting, you know, thinking about it now, but starting in January, that you guys, you know, that you're able to select up to 5, you know, or, you know, no more than 5, you know, veterans, you know, veteran of the year candidates from each of your districts. At least it'll start them thinking about it and plant the seed, and I can't imagine they'd say no, right? And I don't think they should be coming recommended from them, but I think it should be that they should be looking for opportunities for people, so usually coworkers, spouses, family, things like that, where they can basically, as long as they're mentioning it in my mind, and talking about it, so when they're out there and they mention something like that, like, it makes sense that they would, if we want it in their mind, oh, you should do, you know, hey, would you, you know, and,
right.
And you know what I'm saying? Right now, because right now I don't think that they are. In fact, I know they're not, or they're not doing it with it. And that's not it's not a blame thing. It's just they're just not. It's not fresh in their minds.
I think if you let them know in January, then a refresher, a couple months down the road again.
I won't wait till January. I'll reach out to all of them and just say, hey, FYI, this is what the commission, you know, based on this meeting, this is what they requested. Was, you know, just because we run into sometimes where we don't get that many, and we'd like to make sure we recognize those deserving. I'll flower it up accordingly.
When's the last time a council member has attended one of these meetings?
Was it last?
John McCann and Mike Diaz.
Yes.
Last year.
Was that big room we had with the state conference room?
No.
Oh, downstairs.
Councilman?
He's talking about our meetings here.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, McCann up at the police station.
They did?
It was John downstairs.
John McCann came one time and Mike Diaz came one time.
I know. John McCann is a regular at the foundation meeting at the Veterans Home.
It'd be good to get, I mean, some of them in here at least. I mean, even if it's once a year, to get a rotation of council. It doesn't have to be all of them at once, just for them to pop their head in and to see what's important.
That was my
fans
are
reservists, you know.
Right here.
He's very military oriented.
Okay.
Yes.
Do we have any more discussion on Veteran of the Year applications?
Yeah.
All right, so let's move down to staff comments.
You're looking at us.
I don't have anything else to say. I will. Let me just confirm what I'm asked, because I don't want to. So I'm gonna solicit VOI council members, right? And I'm going to check on timeline from city communications. Did I mention anything else? Does anyone remember what I said? Is there anything else I had to offer to do or that I need to do?
Just forward the recommendation to...
I've got that as well.
Better in the year too.
VOI recommendation, got it.
I think that was it.
Okay, check. Done, we're almost done.
Chair's comments, I know I'm going to reach out to the Chamber of Commerce and I will talk to her, see what's the, Lisa Cohen, and see what's the, how they can help us in here. And also, so I'd say thanks again for Commissioner Larkin for setting this up today.
Yes. Okay, thrilled to have you here.
It's a process to get here.
Love for you to come back. We're tickled to host.
Thank you.
Well, you've set the bar. We need to have at least 4 or 5 or 6 guests now at every meeting. Or more.
We do. I mean, this is lovely, though. Thank you all for coming. This is exactly what we wanted, is to open our doors and have people sit with us and visit with us. So we thank you for coming and for your time.
More community involvement, exactly. I will pass along to the commissioners. Sorry. Actually,
I got 3 things here. First, the most important, I'd like to get an excused absence for July, which I had.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Second of all is a report that Dave and I went down to the last council. Did we have to vote on that? Or just nod our heads?
We voted for in the past. All in favor of excusing your absence?
Nod or shake your head, one or the others. You're off to somebody assuming. Yeah.
I can put that on the next agenda with the excuse.
Yeah, I think I asked that.
Remember?
Yeah, those have to be.
And then you said that we didn't have to do it.
I have to. No, unless they ask for it, then it has to be agendized. Okay. If they don't ask for it, and... Since
Jennifer
he asked
for it as well.
Oh yeah, I heard that. I heard you mention that she asked for it. So that will be on the next agenda.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
The council had a recognition of boards and commissions. Dave and I attended that. We got duly recognized. It wasn't a long drawn out thing, but we had a nice taco and wine and beer dinner after that. The rest you guys missed. So plan on that next time. Now, as I understand, we are here as a special meeting. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if we want to continue meeting here, what's the process? Do we have to motion that and put it to the council to approve us moving out here?
I have to do a resolution and everything of that nature.
Do we want to do that? What's your feeling about meeting out here?
I love it. I think it's more accessible to the community.
It's a bit of a wag for these two because they.
Personally, I would like once in a while, I like where I'm at.
Our objective, of course, was to open it up to the public.
Accessibility.
And it's achieving that goal, except the public would have to pay for parking to come out here like that.
Yeah.
So what I would like to do is see if we want to make it a permanent and then continue to look for maybe another option that would be open, no parking fees or permits?
Like the library.
The library.
Okay. Across the street.
We can waive parking for particular events, so I can waive parking in this lot for this meeting. If that's just to put it out on the table.
I like having it out here. I think, I mean, we can certainly, you know, if the board's pleasure is to change it permanently, I think it can be done. It's work, but it is what it is. But in keeping, if I may suggest that in keeping with Mark's discussion and the conversations, the comments about council members and getting them involved, there are now 4 council districts. Maybe we move, you know, at some point during the year, and I think that would be a very good way to couch having a special meeting is to rove through, pick times of the year, go to the council districts, which then means you can invite that council member.
You invite the council member and you go from there
and say, hey, we're holding a special one, and see if they can find, you know, that gets advertised, right? That gets advertised. So hey, if you have constituents that want to meet to the council member on veterans, and it's not a forum for everything, it's a forum for veterans related. We just have to find, and we can find. I mean, there are city facilities in every one of those areas. Yes. This one's fine. This is district.
This is district 3.
Three. Yeah.
The other side is district 1.
This side of Southwestern is District 3 cuts out, and then that
oh, that's
side,
right. There's a little cutout, huh?
Yeah.
We're in the cutout.
The other side of the business center is District 1.
Yeah, so we're in that little cutout, that
weird,
weird cutout.
Yeah.
So that would be my suggestion, just because that would help foster that relationship with council.
So Jill Galvez actually just committed for next month. I just sent her a text message, and she said she'd be willing to meet with us. She's actually going to contact you,
okay.
Claudia. Where we can talk, she can address, remember the VA center we were talking about? She wanted to give an update regarding the VA center, and then any VA, issues we have that we can bring up to her. So, I mean, that's just an easy way. Like, I mean, that's just a simple message in which I think we can all do it together. Just contact the council members, mm-hmm. and they'll be more than willing to want to come out and listen. From there, I think we can get more engagement. Because, I mean, this right here is a beautiful thing in which communities actually involve. Because that's what it's all about. And imagine a room filled with other service organizations that are serving veterans. I mean, this is just Southwestern College. And if we had, because there's so many, of course, with Veterans Coalition of San Diego, if you attend those meetings, there's, I mean, 50 organizations that are there. And if there was a rep to come out and understand that, hey, the Veterans Commission here, you know, group here in the city of Chula Vista means business. And we have one of the biggest veterans community in this county. Mm-hmm. And I think they need to come down here and serve vets. And I think if we have that mentality in which we're aggressive, we will have packed rooms, not only with service organizations, but also community members mm-hmm. as well, where they're engaged and they're involved in this process, because this is what it should be. It shouldn't be a room where it's just us at the table. I think everyone needs to be at the table.
And it has to be known. So somebody in the public can say, oh, they're meeting, where's the veterans committee? You go on to the meeting here, and it's open. I can go down there.
Yes.
I concur. Since there are four districts in the city of Chula Vista, there are four quarters to a year, I think we should schedule them once a quarter, mm-hmm. and I should take care of that.
I think that's a wonderful idea. Gets us out in the community, opens our doors, still gives us some structure that we had before, and I love the idea of bringing in the council member for that district at that time. And we can count on your head.
I'm sorry?
Put an agenda for next time.
Yeah, we have to put on the agenda to vote for that. Yeah.
Okay,
it's not a
so
thing
for
right now.
September, back to the police station? Or what?
Yes. If Jill's actually going to be there, I mean, that's District 2.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do it.
It is.
Two, yeah.
So, I mean, mm-hmm. that would be in our district.
They made the districts counter away from
so
the opposite.
Weird. Yeah,
the police,
yeah.
The police sector is, and so I have to think in two different ways. It's District 2.
I made it by one street where I live. Literally, one street or a few yards. Okay.
That's all I had.
I could see if possibly I have to check the room, see if it's booked. The community room downstairs.
Okay.
Instead, it's more accessible.
Especially if she'd even get Jill's office to advertise.
Mm-hmm.
That's
as
what
long as.
Oh, yeah.
But
as
I have to see if I can get the room.
Well, if you have a problem, I'm sure there's a captain somewhere around that could probably.
A captain who could probably
book.
I got a captain
who could probably. I don't know what's on the. I don't have to look and see what's scheduled.
Might be booked, yeah.
I can try. I have a lot of power.
I have to just see what's scheduled that day.
A council member coming by, maybe.
And it's easier. It's downstairs. You don't need a proxy to get in and out. It's large. We can set it up, things of that nature.
The room to the right, right?
Yes, the room right to the right. Yeah, you have to get access in, but I can always stand at the door and it's easy.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
sure.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So I can see about, and I'll let you know on that. And then you want to put on as an agenda item, maybe changing it a couple times a year? Or?
We were talking this quarter?
Quarterly.
Yep. Okay. Just we have four districts, and if
every 3 months,
district
okay. yeah.
sponsors the council member, then we have it there.
I'll help you draft language for
thank
it
you.
That, mm-hmm. that fits in with where we want to be.
Excellent.
So we have District 2 coming up next month, then we have whichever one is can
two,
do
three,
it between
four.
January and March.
Numerical order, make it easy. Unless they can't. Perfect. Moving along, did who? Didn't get a turn. It was
can I just add on real quick?
Yes, sir.
So I'm assuming, you know, I'm interested in going across the way here real quick. But my assumption, bringing in what you said, bringing in the resources, sounds like you guys would have a lot of pull with that. I don't know how the space is, but you know, you could, you know, if you just, I don't know what the best time of the year would be to hold in District 3, but if you wanted to, like, as we craft the quarterly meetings, and you want to kind of like pencil in. Because we're meeting kind of everywhere. I don't know that this is probably like the preeminent vet center that's going to be in the county, or excuse me, in the city. maybe we think about what the best time of the year is for the schedule, and we do it out here because
a lot of space.
And especially if it's like the time of year where it's light out, where people can come and you can have, that might be like I could see having that be a standing one, a standing special meeting, call it a resource fair, whatever you want to do. You could easily do that.
Summertime?
You could do summer or even fall like this, just because I'm just throwing that out there for you guys to consider. I don't think we have to put that in the minutes, but just kind of for the board to think about what
works
best.
And our students are back in the fall. We know we have students here with us this week because we don't start classes.
Oh, so there you go. So September's meeting.
We probably have students attending if we did it during the regular school.
Yeah,
Perfect. Okay.
Oh, no other comments.
Just okay. And you wanted to add something on the agenda for next month as well. You had mentioned?
Just outlining for us to look at marketing our BOI, but we can do that offline. Or
Commissioner Larkin, anything else?
No, my only action item I'm working on is, which I talked about earlier, I'm just very interested in data, so I'm looking to the American Community Survey, the ACS, to see what our current, how many veterans are in the city of Chula Vista, just to see, because, I mean, we have more veterans that can be bringing more funding where we can talk with the City of Chula Vista Council and other representatives that represent this area to see if we get more money allocated to this city to serve the veteran population. But yeah, I'll look into that. And also my action item from last month, the Star News, once they contacted me, it was already too late by that time for them to already promote on the paper, in
okay.
the paper.
So oh,
it was
okay.
just already,
okay.
yeah.
It was too late.
It just wouldn't have worked out.
Odd you say promote. They demoted me in the article that just came out. I've been demoted by the Star News.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah. She's done it twice. I got to reach out to her. Not a big deal.
Here's my card. Here's my card.
Commissioner Wynn.
As long as I still get paid, I'm okay.
All right. Is it best to conclude then walk over there or just conclude over there? Okay. All right. So what we'll do is we'll conclude this and then we'll go. So time is
19:06
hours. This includes the meeting for the Veterans Commission today. And after this, we can head over to and check out your awesome community center.
Let's do it.
Thank you all for making